1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
All right, we went and saw the Bill Murray movie this past weekend, and oh my God, the movie was good, but the more horrifying experience was walking into that movie theater. This is the Bill Murray movie, Lost in Translation, and I would not recommend the movie for usual Bill Murray fans, because it's not a bunch of shtick. It isn't him singing Star Wars as Nick Wings. It's Bill Murray as a dramatic actor who's also funny. It's a great movie. It was directed by Francis Ford Coppola's daughter, who hopefully has gotten far enough away from her old man so she'll never be seen in another one of his movies, which he almost single-handedly destroyed her career, didn't he? She was in that Godfather 3, which, despite what many people would like to tell you, is one of the worst films I've ever seen. And Sofia Coppola, that little daughter of his, he stuck her in that because there's something wrong with that Coppola. Something wrong. He made two good movies, and everything else he ever made, you wouldn't want to... What are you going to do with it, man? You wrap Christmas presents with it. You don't want to watch it. Anyway, we went and saw this movie. It's very good. But everybody in the theater was 116 years old. So there you go. There's the truth about where Bill Murray's fan base... And really, all of us who grew up watching Bill Murray from the time of Saturday Night Live till now, we're all 108. So just kiss it goodbye. I walked into that theater, and I thought I was in a retirement home. I really did. My wife said, I'm going to go get a couple of seats. I was really looking forward to seeing the flick. I heard great things about it. I got a big popcorn, like I usually do, two large Diet Cokes, right? And I'm balancing them. And I walked in to the theater down the left-hand side aisle, and I could smell that faint fart smell when there's old people around. And then I looked, and it was all 800-year-old people. And it was that kind of diaper stink. And I said, ah, Jesus. I actually made a comment to my wife when I sat down. I said, it stinks in here. And she's, and she's sitting next to some old lady who's saying, oh, he was probably looking for another blonde. Yeah, I don't know. I was looking for her, and I couldn't find her because she had the seats and I had the popcorn, and I came back, and it had that kind of retirement home diaper stink, mothballs and butt stink, and it just made me want to gag up. And then I looked around, and everybody in the theater has got gray hair, and I'm going, oh, this is swell. So this is what we've all become. This is the Bill Murray crowd. This is the Saturday Night Live crowd from the 70s? We're 800 years old? I mean, has time gone by so fast that we just all look and smell like old people in a Bill Murray movie? Then I went and saw Dickie Roberts, and it was the same crowd, so I didn't feel so bad. No, actually, the Dickie Roberts crowd was totally the opposite. I saw these twerpy little skateboard punks going in, and I said, just out of curiosity, what movie is you guys going to go see? Dickie Roberts? Okay, that's figures. But I wanted to see Dickie Roberts because David Spade is a riot. Unfortunately, his movie, that's okay. The problem is, if I may just be so bold as to tell you this, Mr. Spade, although you're far more experienced at making movies than me, you know, you might want to settle on just maybe one or two points that you want to make in the movie, not 16. Because this guy's a kid actor, just to give you the boring over, he's a kid actor who becomes an adult, and he never had a childhood because his parents were scumbags because they wanted him to be a movie star. Okay, so he has to rediscover his childhood to get a part in a Rob Reiner movie. Follow me so far? So then he gets to move in with a family so he can be their kid, so he can know what it's like to be a kid, but in the process, he teaches them about loosening up. In other words, he's Whoopi Goldberg. In other words, it's a Whoopi Goldberg script, and Spade stuck himself in the middle of it. And, oh, yeah, I almost forgot the woman of the house that he moved into and her husband, they're not getting along, and so he cheats on her, and you see this coming from the beginning of the movie. So Spade hooks up with her, and then I guess the moral of the movie at the end, the one they want you to get is, you know, family is better than fame, and it's better to have a childhood than an adulthood. That's a bunch of bullcrap. And all these cameos with all of these kid actors, like Danny Bonaducci, and the other guy, what's his face? You know that guy? Leif Garrett's in it. And then there's a guy named, the kid, the Butch Patrick from the Munsters is in it. Boy, did he look frightening. Oh, my God. And, I mean, not that I look great, but, you know, nobody had to see me when I was a kid. So when they see me now, they go, oh, you don't look that bad, you know. But if they saw a picture of me as a kid, they'd scream and run from the room. And then I saw Tony Dow from Leave It to the Beaver. And they open the movie with, of course, the famous line, "Ward, weren't you a little hard on the beaver last night?" from the show. And they just keep clicking through to other great lines. So all in all, the Murray movie was great. The crowd was, I mean, at least they weren't talking, right? At least the old folks. Generally, you go to a movie with the old folks, like I told you, none of the hearing aids work, so it's all, "Oh, look at that. That's Sicily. I was there in World War II. Hey, excuse me, could you be quiet, sir?" "What? Oh, I know that you're hearing aid. Well, I can't understand. Shut up!" And let me see, the Dickie Roberts movie, okay, he got hit in the balls twice, so that accounts for a couple of jokes right there. You can get those in right away. There was two hit in the ball jokes. There was one excretory gag where he peed, and that was funny. I gotta admit, I laughed. And he also farted once, made fart noises another time. And, you know, just the high-quality comedy writing that goes into the Lorne Michaels-inspired movies. Oh, I'm sorry. Jesus, why don't you cats get funny, okay? Just something, somewhere, somehow. Write a funny movie. Spade's got his demographics are down around 3 now. Are you really pulling that 3 to 8 crowd, man? Way to go. What is it, man? I mean, I know you got to work for a living, for crying out loud, but, you know, does it mean we got to suffer? You got to get a payday, and now they got to recoup their losses, however they do their stuff. Does that mean we got to sit through more of your stuff? And you know, like, the freaking flick goes on forever. Ever and ever and ever. You know the private parts? The girl who played the wife? She was the wife in this one. And she's got a lisp, which is fine. "Listen, love is all that counts. Didn't you know that, Dickie?" All right, anyway, Phil Henry Show. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Or she called him after they got married, "Little Dickie." Now, NFL football is on the air. How about them Dolphins? They won yesterday 17-7 over Buffalo. Yes, that and other reviews of the NFL weekend coming up here on the Phil Henry Show. Today we have a very special guest with us, Robert Green, not to be confused with the Bob Green that's helping McDonald's with their nutrition. This is a Bob Green who's a restaurant consultant who wants to help McDonald's get some appreciation, get some respect. Coming up next hour, high school coach and football coach Vernon Dozier will be on to talk about how his kid will never be in a fatal automobile accident. He'll kill him first before that happens, because we've had more dead kids this weekend. More dead kids. You know, that a weekend goes by in a school year here in America that we don't kill another kid. And, you know, it's like every generation, teenagers get in car and go fast. I get car, I go fast. Yeah, okay. And four little kids were on an ATV out in Georgia. Did you read this one? This will make you vomit if you read. You didn't read that? Four little kids on an ATV, all-terrain vehicle. They get out onto a highway, which is illegal, but there's four of them. The oldest is 14, and the youngest, I think, is either 10 or 11. And they get hit head-on by some woman who allegedly, crossed the center line and may have been drinking. Now, I say allegedly because when I read the story closely, they got the word that she had possibly been going over the double yellow line from who? From the radio dispatcher at the county sheriff's office. And, you know, in other words, she's sitting there and everybody calls her by the first name and they have to crank the phone before they contact her. And she's got all the information. Is that right? All right, 1-800-449-8686. That and oodles more on the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I already talked about the dead kids. Oh, I got to talk about that. Then I'll get into the NFL stuff because, you know, it wouldn't be America if kids weren't cruising around on ATVs. Look, folks, any that cares, you know, I don't know who you are, and frankly, I don't care myself. But if there's an ATV in your house or, you know, an all-terrain vehicle, that's what that is, that four-wheel thing sitting in your garage, there you go. Make sure the kids aren't crawling on that and then taking off on it. And if they've got your permission, then somebody ought to shoot you. If they're 14 years old or taking it out onto a street, with your permission, someone ought to come to your house and run you over. So there's five dead kids down in Georgia, if anybody cares. If anybody cares, because they're out high, you know, they're hustling around the street like kids will on an all-terrain vehicle that some dumb parent let them ride, and now they're dead. Where's the stupid parent? Oh, I know, they're grieving the loss of the children. In other words, they got what they deserved, right? Why put them on trial? Why hold them accountable? They got what they deserve. You know, personally, I don't really care about you. I care that those kids are gone. Maybe they could have lived, huh? Maybe they could have been a little bit better than what you're contributing to the planet, you idiot. Instead, we're left with you. Oh, that's great. Now, this past weekend, got a few more kids dead up here on the freeway. Some drunk kid, man. You know, you juice hounds out there, can't you maybe call a cab? Is there a problem? And again, the kids are doing it because the adults are doing it. So if you got a drunk 19-year-old kid who's running around on the street out there, it's because he had a parent who was doing the same thing. Guaranteed. And if he's an alkie, well, he's an alkie. Look, if you got an alcoholic teen, least you can do is not give him a car. Don't let him drive a car. Unlike some of the parents in my neighborhood, some kid flipped his old man's, I don't know what it was, Lexus, right? Down the street from where I live. Flips his old man's Lexus. Next thing I know, the kid's driving around a brand new Escalade. Boy, now that's exactly what you got to do, brain surgeon. Let the kid wreck one car and give him a more expensive car after that. Buy one that's even worth more after that. That's why we got guys like you around, huh, with that real brain surgery going on. Next thing you know, man, we're landing on Mars with your know-how. You got to be kidding me. What are you building in the garage there, rocket scientist? So now there's another dead. We got kids dying left and right where I live. Left and right, man, they're dead. They're running into walls. They're running into trees. They're running into cars. They're running into other cars. They're blowing their cars up. Left and freaking right out where I live. They can't kill them fast enough out there. Hey, man, not that it's anything unusual. Every generation of teenagers, there's two things that teenagers try to do. Have a lot of fun and basically try to extinguish themselves as a species. Now, Mark, my very good friend and engineer, says to me that his father bought him the big expensive SUV because he figures he can't flip that SUV as easy as you can a Lexus. Yeah, think again, Pops. You know what you can? You know what you can do with an SUV, though? You can roll that sucker. You can roll that thing down a hill, man. Ever seen one of those movies, you know, like The Fall Guy? And then that real cool explosion at the bottom of the hill? When they pull your kid out of there, man, he'll look like soup's on. Looking like, you know, one of them charred... you ever left a hot dog in a grill too long? It don't look too good, does it? That's what he's going to be looking like pulled out of that car. I ain't kidding you. It's nuts. That's what's going on in my neighborhood. How about you guys, huh? Everything's great where I live. The kids are dying at their usual rate. Hate to bring all the bummer news to you. I know. You listen to the Phil Henry for giggles and grins, don't you? You listen to the Phil Henry show so Phil can do his funny voices and make you feel all just warm inside. We'll get to that. Don't worry. We got Vernon Dozier, Bob Green's coming up. I can tell you about a really cool argument my wife and I had this weekend, but I want to make sure that all of the stuff that I'm really pissed off about has been expunged here in the opening minutes so that the rest of this will be just be sweetness and light and the flowing of the milk of human kindness. Now, let's see. What else? Oh, yeah. Well, I can't get into that because he might sue me. My wife's ex-husband, that is. Now then, we had a big argument, Maria and I. Here, I love this. Then I'll do the NFL scores. See, my wife's a Republican. Nothing wrong with that. It's fine. You can be anything you want to be. Now, this is a Republican's idea of paying a Democrat a compliment. You know, Bill Clinton's a good example of a man who pulled himself up by his bootstraps. I mean, after all, he had that mother that was catting around, whoring around. And I go, whoa, 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 whoa. You know that his mother was honored by him, and he had her as a very prominent fixture in his life while he was in the White House. She was very well known to the public, and he definitely made her an individual that was at his side. And she's looking at me like I'm stupid. I said, so what do you mean his mother was out catting around? Well, she had a different boyfriend every night. I said, this is a perfect. Why don't you people, you Republicans, just clam up about Clinton, okay? Just shut up once and for all. Have you got nothing else to talk about? Every time you open up your mouth about Clinton, there's got to be a left-handed comment there. Little left-handed slam. Yeah, he's a great guy. Too bad about that slut mother he had, huh? Boy, that's Rhett Clinton. You know, actually, he was a pretty good guy, other than the whore he had for a mom. Just, you know, it's 2000. When did he get... 2000, baby. It's almost 4 years. Get a life. Get a life. What is it? You're screwing the job of running this country up so much, you're butchering up this whole domestic policy so bad, you got to keep pulling Clinton out. Is that how pathetic you cats have gotten? Look, good job in that Iraq war, okay? Maybe we ought to just have you guys hanging around for the war stuff. We'll have you do that. We'll take care of the rest. Because when it comes to pulling this country together domestically, you guys couldn't find your ass with both hands. And I mean both hands. All right, now, the NFL. The NFL this past weekend. You're right, Janice. We needed music. I'm sorry. She said to me, I think would be great is if you do some NFL picks, and then the next thing, play some marching music. And I said, nah, I don't want to clutter it up with a lot of marching music. She goes, all right. Well, it was just a suggestion, Phil. I'll do anything you want. I said, thank you, Janice. That's why I like you. So then I got in here, and with no time left, I decided she's right. Marching music would be good, so here it is. Now then. Jacksonville at Indianapolis. Indianapolis won that game. Joe Dickhead picked it. Tony Dungy may just have himself a football team this year. By the way, Janikowski of the Oakland Raiders has been arrested after a bar fight. If you don't know about Sebastian Janikowski, I'll tell you a little bit when we get down to the Oakland game, which is tonight. But Janikowski is some Pole who's a drunk, a slob, and if I'm not mistaken, and I think I very much am not mistaken, was convicted of giving women date rape drugs. He's a real piece of garbage. Naturally, he's an Oakland Raider. Oh, he got into a bar fight. Yeah, well, guys get into bar fights, sure. You know, especially if you're an Oakland Raider. You're a badass. Ain't that right? Kansas City, Houston, KC won. Vermeil's for real there. Houston, you know, good job. I'm glad you got a football team. I like that. Well, I don't like that horn. Number one, burn the uniform. Start all over again with the name, the uniform, everything. And dream on. Minnesota beat Detroit. Boy, they're rocking and rolling there. And Steve Mariucci, he ain't the answer, so don't even worry about that. Tennessee beat New Orleans. Joe Dickhead picked New Orleans. They don't call him Dickhead for nothing. New England over the Jets. Sorry about that, Mark, but we saw that one 2 weeks ago. He picked Cincy over Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh beat Cincinnati 7-10 at Cincinnati. Closer game than one would think, and that's because both of their defenses are about even. If you think Pittsburgh's defense is something to write home about, No. Cincy and Pittsburgh match up real good on defense. Tampa Bay beat Atlanta, and I mean they kicked the crap out of Atlanta. You know, the Falcons are a play team. They're not a real football team, and they never will be. They're just a little play team. They're a team you can go down and beat up on. How does it feel, Atlanta, that Tampa Bay has been in the league about 10 years less than you guys, and they've won a Super Bowl, and you guys, the last time you sniffed a Super Bowl, you got blown out of that thing? Your football team sucks, and your football organization sucks. Do you understand clearly? And until you start getting serious, and I love Michael Vick. I love him. You'll never, ever, ever win a Super Bowl with a quarterback with a style like Michael Vick's. You'll never win a Super Bowl with that kind of a quarterback. Never. All right, I'll be back with more of this stuff. And when I say stuff, I do mean Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
By the way, the Emmys, weren't they exciting? You know, nobody watches the Emmys, and I'll tell you why no one watches the Emmys. If anybody's interested in my opinion, which, you know, they're not, but that's fine. I'll offer it whenever I can. Nobody can follow the Emmys. They are standing for what? It's standing lead series of a dramatic thing and another guy with a comedy thing. He's got a documentary hanging out of his thing. Who follows the Emmys? Nobody. Number two, it's television. It ain't movies. Get it? Do you understand? The Oscars are glamour. The Oscars are Hilary Swank and all of that stuff with, you know, when after she did Boys Don't Cry and then she comes out looking like Marilyn Monroe and you're going, oh my God. And it's Sean Connery with his bald head and it's Jack Nicholson maybe saying something and it's Warren Beatty looking smug and untalented and it's Annette Bening looking so gorgeous and you wonder how the hell does he wind up with the really good ones? What did we all do to deserve Warren Beatty in our lives? That he gets to have Annette Bening and the rest of us are going home with pee stains on our underwear. Thanks a lot. That's the Academy Awards. That's Glamour Central. And frankly, I don't want to see James Gandolfini and Edie Falco up there having to humiliate themselves for the Emmys. They're far better than that. They're there every year, and they finally won, which is great, because The Sopranos is the greatest thing that's ever hit television, in my opinion. And, of course, it's you know we get one season every 2 years now from those guys. But when they lose, they're still there like, oh, we lost. Don't show up for the Emmys anymore. Because they're the only thing, as far as I'm concerned, The Sopranos is so head and shoulders above everything else on television. And I mean everything, including Sex and the City and 24 and all that other crap. Crap. If you got to wait through a commercial, the show is crap. Do you understand? If you have to watch any TV show that requires commercial sponsorship, it's crap with a capital app. And that includes radio shows. Oh, wait a second. Well, at least I ain't sitting here trying to tell you I'm art. At least I'm not sitting here trying to tell you that I'm socially redeeming. I'm just a big fat mouth. Unless it's on the ABC TV network. And then I say, go for it. They happen to be a sponsor of ours. I think it's great. The Practice kicks ass. Alias kicks ass. And what an ass on that Jennifer Garner. I mean, what a great show. You know what I don't like, though, are the movies on commercial TV? I got to sit and, you know, they'll say, tonight, it's Ben-Hur, or whatever, you know, Apocalypse Now, whatever the hell. And you'll get to a good part, and then, hey, honey, my acne's acting up again. They cut from, like, a scene where a guy's getting machine gunned to someone, hemorrhoids bothering you? And it doesn't make any sense. I don't want to sit through the 2 minutes of commercials. All right, back to the National Football League here on the Phil Henry Show. So we got down to the Tampa game. Good for them. Green Bay lost in Arizona. Let me explain something to a lot of you cheeseheads and a lot of you people who live in the cold weather. Everybody in the cold weather loves to talk about how tough their city is to play in November and December and January in the National Football League because it's so cold. And all those pussified Southern and Western teams got to go up there and be he-men and play in the cold, right? Well, what happened to the Packers? Just so happens they had to play at 106 degrees down of the desert, baby. Feels good, doesn't it? Yeah. I would much rather play professional football in sub-zero temperatures than in 106. Are you high? What are you drinking? 106 with padding and with a helmet and with the... Oh, my God. At least you got a little protection, you got a little warmth on you when you're playing football up in Bloomington or up in Madison or up in Green Bay, right? Or Milwaukee. Nothing wrong with that, but in 100, there's no escaping it. You gotta wear a helmet. So try that on for size. The problem is the Arizona Cardinals can't make that work for them. You would think that they would become the Green Bay of the South. In other words, let's make that heat work for us. September and early October games, brutal. 106 degrees. But unfortunately, the Arizona Cardinals ain't it. You know how they say we're looking for a few good men? Well, the Arizona Cardinals ain't it. All right, the Giants got past Washington. Way to do it, Giants. Shut Spurrier up for one more week. You know, Spurrier, you're in the National Football League now, okay? You understand that, don't you? You understand that you're now playing professional football. You're coaching a professional football team, right? Okay. No more of the alumni coming up and licking your rear end after one of the big Gator victories, all right? No more SEC football and then the rest is like downhill. No more no bowls, no polls, no apologies. No more your big Florida collegiate alumni lick it up one side and down the next football. This is the professional ranks, okay? You've left the minor leagues now. You're not playing the Georgia Bulldogs, and you're not kicking ass at Florida State, and you're not winning the annual game against the Bulldogs in Jacksonville, and they're not carrying you off the field and serenading you underneath the ivy-covered halls there of Ass Tower, where they come out and they sing Ole Ye Florida, or whatever the hell they do in college. Oh, Gators. Well, you know, whatever they sing. No. This is for money. As if college isn't, but this is for money, this is the pros, this is the professional ranks. And so far, pal, your press, oh, and that Snyder, too, that guy, you guys have been yap, that, that, with a big fat mouth, and you ain't done nothing, which is fine. I don't expect the guy to work miracles in 2 years. I think Daniel Snyder expected you to work miracles in 2 years. And guess what, Snyder? You're going to be looking real unhappy into that owner's box one more week. Every time they shoot the camera up at that little smug creep, he always looks, I don't understand. Shouldn't we be winning the Super Bowl by now? No, sir, you shouldn't be winning the Super Bowl. More deviled ham?
Okay.
Can I get you another Coke?
Get out of here.
Seattle beat the St. Louis Rams, and Joe Dickhead picked that one. Very good pick, Joe. Seattle's for real. Don't even make any mistake about that. They are for real. Baltimore beat San Diego. That was a no-brainer, Charger fans. Your football team, once again, blows. And one of the reasons why your football team blows is because the ownership down there is some of the worst in the history of the professional football ranks. The Spanos boys need to go. However fast or however slow, they've taken a once-proud franchise, quote-unquote, never won a Super Bowl, but, you know, a couple of AFL championships, and it's just a joke down there. Marty Schottenheimer is not for the professional ranks any longer. The new pro game has passed his ass by. Drew Brees is a pretty good quarterback. You got a hell of a running back. Now you need a coach. But more importantly, more than anything else, you need new ownership. And some people think you need a new city. And this is where my friends in Los Angeles comes in. I said my friends in Los Angeles comes in. So actually, I only have one friend, yeah. This is where my friend in Los Angeles comes in. They think you're dumb enough to want the Chargers up here. Oh, and I know a lot of you are nodding, we are. Yeah, I know you are. But what I'm trying to do is educate you to something. Number one, you're going to get another rotten team up here with another rotten owner. It's going to stink the joint out, and in 5-6 years, they'll flee for greener pastures. And people like to say, well, the Chargers started in L.A. Yeah, back when they were getting $10,000 a game. Yeah, they were a big community resource, weren't they? Nobody even knew they were here. Your football team stinks, San Diego. Suck on it. Get to know it. Feel comfortable with it. And then as fans, you might want to try to do something about it. But your team stinks. Now, San Francisco lost to Cleveland? Well, now ain't that a crying shame? That's too bad, you know? Tournament's fair play there. And then, of course, the fish rise against the Bills in Miami last night. Good ball game. Good game, Dolphins. Their defense was outstanding. Just outstanding. It's too bad you got Jay Fiedler. But anyway, Fiedler ain't going to do nothing for you. You know that as well as I do. But hey, who knows? You know, I mean, hey, if Jeff Hostetler could win a Super Bowl, by God, Jeff, what's his name? Is it Jeff or Ass? Jay Fiedler. Fiedler can win a Super Bowl. If Hostetler wins a Super Bowl, if Mark Rypien won a Super Bowl, I mean, think of the stiffs that won Super Bowls at quarterback. Can you think of any, Mark? I mean, would you call Phil Simms a stiff? No, Phil Simms was good. Phil Simms was good. Mark Rypien, Jeff Hostetler, I mean, down through the years, there's got to be one or two. Well, I mean, Plunkett, you know, wasn't exactly no bargain. Plunkett made it to a Super Bowl. Oh, he made it to two Super Bowls? I beg your pardon. Anyway, and then tonight, Oakland at Denver. Speaking of Oakland, we've got the news here. Sebastian Janikowski will kick for the Raiders on Monday night tonight, despite reportedly being arrested on Saturday after getting into a bar fight in Walnut Creek. Have you ever seen Janikowski? He's not built like a kicker. He's built more like a linebacker. He's built like a linebacker who is not disciplined at all. So not only does he have a big fat ass and big thighs, but he's got big fat calves and ankles. He's just, his legs are just fat. He's a big fat slob. And because he drinks so much, he can't really have the discipline to play linebacker or defensive tackle, which is probably what he should. He's got like cankles. Yeah, he doesn't have calves or ankles. So he decided, I'm fat and I don't want to play.
Well, how about being a kicker, Sebastian? I can get a good job there in that football league.
What, you American? You American?
I'm your agent, okay, fatso? Just have another drink. Don't worry about it.
And so Sebastian came to America. On the wagon west.
Love to come to America. Kick football. Also get date rape drug.
All right, Jesus, you with that date rape drug. If you could get a woman on your own. Look, and I can't get the date rape stuff, but how about another bottle of schnapps, okay?
Sounds good to me.
And so he got into a few more bar fights, and naturally, because of his bar fights and his general antisocial behavior, not to mention his foul breath, Al Davis took to him immediately and signed him to a professional contract.
This is Raider football, you know, Raider football.
Whatever, Jew, give me ball to kick.
Because Davis doesn't know that Janikowski hates Jews. Hates them. So I'm sorry, Mr. Davis, I had to tell you that, but I heard him raving about that at a bar down here one afternoon. I said, who's that big, bald-headed dumbass? Oh, he's an Oakland Raider. Must be Sebastian Janikowski. And he was raving all this anti-Semitism, and then he said something about Al Davis, and I didn't want to say anything, but... I'm kidding. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Davis Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Coming up on the Phil Hendry Show, Vernon Dozier, a high school football coach who believes that the kids who are getting into automobile accidents, it can be prevented, but you have to practice a little corporal punishment on your kid. In other words, inflict pain before the kid experiences pain in an automobile accident. Then Robert Greene at 6 will be talking about McDonald's and the greatness of the McDonald's fast food chain and why they have been really under-respected all these years by those of us who eat at their restaurants. Our email address is phs@philhenryshow.com, phs@philhenryshow.com. Our backstage pass is only $6.95 a month at our website, and our website is philhenryshow.com. So the email address is phs@philhenryshow.com, but the website is www.philhenryshow.com. And we like to cram these things all together into one break, and that way you don't know what I'm talking about, and you wouldn't know what I was talking about if you had lifetimes of reincarnation. Also, a souvenir shop is available there, so you can pick up our Best Of CD for the year 2002, and coming up, our Best Of for 2003. All the money goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. Speaking of Hollywood, here's some news. That we said this first, and it's been echoed by none other than one of the great reviewers of social culture, one of the great overviewers of our society, Stevie Nicks. She says that Madonna kissing a 22-year-old woman, she said Madonna's too old to be kissing somebody who's 22. They're talking about that Madonna-Britney Spears kiss, right? Now, I personally think people talk about that kiss because other people talk about it. First of all, they're talking about it because two women did it, right? And there's something that's sexual about that, very exciting about that. In fact, you might say that most of the population enjoys it, because if you take into consideration all men, even gay men, and then add to that the lesbians, it's most Americans liked seeing that. The only one who didn't was me, because I was feeling bad for Britney Spears. Honestly, I was feeling bad for Britney Spears. I was thinking, boy, she's a gorgeous, beautiful young woman, you know, while it lasts. And Madonna, who, I'm sorry, man, I think she looks funky. sticking her tongue down that kid's throat? How ghoulish and perverted can it get? And she ain't a kid. I know. What? How old's Britney Spears? She's got to be 15, if she's a day. She's not a kid anymore. So she's, you know, I'm not saying that she was like some kind of child porn, but it's close. Pretty damn close, Madonna. Pretty damn close. I would think you'd have a little bit more respect than that to be shoving your tongue down some kid's throat. Oh, my God. What's that say about you? What was it like backstage? She talk her into it like, this would be really hot for both of our careers. Okay, and Britney is kind of dumb and sort of looks up to Madonna and figures, yeah, maybe she's right. So if you see the replay of the kiss, Britney looks horrified as it's about to happen. Honest to God, because I've played it back many times. And as Madonna zooms in for the kill with those gappy teeth and that and breath like coffee and cigarettes probably, and the tongue comes out, suddenly in the eyes of Britney Spears is this look of sheer horror. Hey, Britney, you're lucky you didn't get your tongue caught in the gap of those teeth. They'd still be trying to pry it loose.
Day four, doctors at the Cedars-Sinai are still trying to get Britney Spears' tongue from the gap there in Madonna's teeth.
Madonna, a couple ideas. Braces is a good idea. If you want to say that you're Marilyn Monroe, like you did for a long time, try to look like her, too. That'd be a good thing. In other words, have the sex appeal that she had, which you don't have. And I don't mean to be cruel. I'm sorry. I'm sure you're a fine mother, but don't be shoving your tongue down an icon's throat like that. Somebody that we all love, respect, and want to have sex with. And you, how dare you? You're a little old, baby, to be doing that, huh? I hate to tell you that, baby, but time waits for no one. You were it, Madonna. You were the thing for a long time, but now you're just an old bag. You're old and you're getting older, honey, and you can lift weights. You know what you're going to be? You're going to be like Jack LaLanne's wife. You're going to have those large breasts and the flat ass, you know, because no matter how much exercise you do, the muscles just erode back there. And so you'll have, like, pretty good legs, no ass at all. On your 18th boob job, you'll be so tan that somebody will want to clock you into the burn ward here until you say, no, I'm sorry, I was just at the beach. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, because boy, man, you look like someone's old saddlebag, honey. And then you'll do more kids' books and you'll paint and I'm sure you'll write about the unbelievable life you've had and what a wild time it's been. And we'll read one more book from one more entertainer about how great and exciting and neato Kano their life was. And shouldn't we all be that lucky? And you got your toe hanging out the front of your sandals just so you can keep them on. And you know what I'm saying? You'll be wearing tight pants way past the time it's appropriate. And you'll probably be married to a guy like Pelton, you know. 1-800-449-8686. Coming up, Vernon Dozier on The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
How do educators, high school educators, how do they react to the increasing every year, it seems, the increasing incidence of high school kids killing themselves in automobile accidents? Now we have pre-high school, young adolescent kids getting killed in an ATV accident in Georgia. Vernon Dozier is a high school history teacher. He also teaches varsity football, is a coach of the varsity football team at Belmar Academy. Mr. Dozier, the kids are back in school, they're driving their cars, and there's a lot of ugly, horrible things happening.
Absolutely, Phil. I don't know. I can't disagree with that. Our teens have been involved in horrible automobile accidents. I did read the story about the five kids dying on an all-terrain vehicle in Georgia. Let me tell you something, and I'll tell this to all of your listeners. I thank God every night that this is never going to happen to my son. We have a program that is in place that involves other parents, and it is the On-Campus Crisis Club. And we try to identify at-risk kids who are going to be involved in this kind of this kind of activity, and we try to turn them away from it.
Tell me how you know your son, as you say, is not going to be involved in this.
Phil, my son is never going to be in an automobile accident like this, never in one that's fatality.
But how do you know?
Well, first of all, my wife and I still believe in corporal punishment. We're very old-fashioned, and at this age, the teenage years, not a week goes by that I don't tell my son. And I say this to every parent. I recommend this, as unusual it might be, but not a week goes by that I don't tell my son. If I find out that you were driving, if I find out that you were drinking and driving, that you were speeding, that you were joyriding recklessly, I will beat you so bad that you'll wind up in a hospital. And I'm being very literal. I am not kidding.
My understanding is you will beat your son up if he finds out, if you find out he's made these mistakes.
I'll beat him up, because what I'm trying to do is show him there are worse things in this world than a beating. Those poor kids that were on the ATV, these poor kids that died this past weekend up in Santa Barbara County, the millions of American kids who are killed every year in automobile accidents, teenagers, I think they'd much rather have been beaten and put in a hospital by their parents than to have this happen. The unfortunate thing, Phil, is that most parents don't have the guts and don't have the love for their kids to threaten them with that.
All right. When you say you're old-fashioned, I want you to know something. You're an educator, and I absolutely approve of the efforts that you guys make. But to threaten a kid with physical violence?
I can tell you this, Phil, that I say to the kids, for instance, those little kids that were on that ATV, that should never have happened. If there was an adult taking them aside who said, as I would say to those kids, if you go out on that ATV, you had better keep right on going and pray that you've got gas, because if I ever catch you, and what you do is you customize the threat to the age group. So for small kids like that, I would say, if I ever catch you, I'll bend your fingers so far back that they'll almost snap, but not quite. And I'll guarantee you, as God is my witness, those kids would never have taken that ATV out. You see, Mr. Henry, parents are so concerned with giving the image that they're modern parents. This is the thing that I can't stand, this modern parent thing. And they want to be with the kids. They want to hang out with the kids. So you see these fathers. Oh, boy, if I got a pet peeve, it's these fathers who come to our football practice with the baseball cap turned around backwards. Okay? And the Dockers shorts, the fat pants. I tell you, I saw.
All right, not to interrupt you, but you're saying that the parents are spending more time trying to be pals with the kids than parents.
Absolutely, yeah. I saw this guy show up at our practice, and I said to him, and his name was Bob Harley. I said, Bob, he had the baseball cap turned around and the fat pants. He's watching his kid doing some drills. I said, you know something? I said to him, I said, you are pissing me off just standing next to me like this. And I said, if I could get away with it, I'd reach across the fence and I'd slap your face.
Why? Because the guy's just wearing a baseball cap turned around?
Because I can tell he's the kind of parent who wants to be hip. Yeah, well, guess what? His son, and I will say the kid's name on the air, is Stephen Harley. With a father like that, Stephen is probably going to be killed horribly in an automobile accident before he's a senior. And I should have said to the father, have you picked out a burial plot for your son? Because you're going to kill him.
All right, Vernon Dozier is with us, high school football coach, high school teacher, talking about the only way to protect our kids from killing themselves in car accidents during the school year when they're running around with their friends and so on and so forth is good old-fashioned hard corporal punishment. He has threatened his son with a trip to the hospital. He'll beat him so bad if he finds out that he's been driving recklessly or drinking and driving, etc. 1-800-449-8686 is the number. Here on the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The reason why I'm hearing what you're saying here, Mr. Dozier, and not getting completely shocked, is up to this point you're talking about your own kid. But your on-campus crisis club has to do with other parents, doesn't it?
It absolutely does, Phil. Look, any decent parent would give their daughter, let's just say their daughter, a black eye or a broken elbow, if they saw her joyriding in a car that might be out of control, that could be...
Well, now you're talking about a girl.
I'm talking about all teenagers. If my daughter And I've got a 24-year-old daughter who's now a mother, but when she was a young lady, and I'd see some of this, let me be kind, some of these, quote, young men, end quote, that came to pick her up, they looked like they were raised in a garbage can. And I'd see some of this garbage to pick her up, and I'd say to her, if you come home having kissed this or having anything to drink or have you had sex with him, I will punch you directly in your uterus just in case you had sex with him to kill whatever may have been up.
Oh, my God.
No, I swear to God I said it, because I don't need a daughter acting like a whore when she's 16 years of age.
You'll punch her in the uterus?
That's right. See, this is how you get kids to behave. Otherwise, they're going to act like animals.
Now, the on-campus crisis, did you ever have to punch your daughter? I don't think you did you?
No, sir, I did not. My daughter was a good girl. Not like a lot of the young ladies that go to high school now.
Now, the Parents On-Campus Crisis Club, which you identify what you call kids at risk.
Yes, we can identify which of the kids who come from these so-called modern homes, which means the parents are eventually going to go to that child's funeral. That's what it means to me. I see a parent who's trying to be their kid's friend, and I see a parent who is getting ready to buy a box to put that kid in. Since they are permissive and they don't discipline their kids, we become a surrogate.
All right, so these kids, these so-called at-risk kids who are not coming from homes where there is corporal punishment, you invite them to a club meeting. Is that where you begin to physically manhandle them?
Well, they're generally held in one of our homes, these meetings. So first of all, we relax the young person, we have sandwiches and Cokes, and then we explain that they are in need of a reconditioning, that their parents are far too permissive with them, that my understanding is their parents don't practice, corporal punishment, and that they may kill themselves in a car. They're young, and by definition, they're stupid. So talking with them is so overrated. So we tell the young person that we want you to live, and we want you to have a good life, and then we give that kid an ass-kicking. I mean, we literally...
Somebody who's been to your meetings, you're pushing this kid from parent to parent?
We're beating them up pretty good, but believe me, it's nothing... That.
Well, there were two instances reported by, and I believe this is the Glendale police, of kids laying in the street out in front of one of the homes of these parents, bloody and unconscious.
I'm not familiar with that. I can tell you that we have given kids some good beatings.
What's the difference between a kid hurting himself in an automobile accident and the beating that you're giving that kid?
The difference, Mr. Henry... If you haven't figured it out yet, the difference is this. He's alive when we get done with him. In an automobile accident, it may not be the same thing.
All right, 1-800-449-8686.
Let me just say this to you, Phil. When I get done telling my kid, you know, I'll slap him around. I'll spend a good half hour slapping him around. I know that boy is not going to go out and drive like so many of these other parents' kids, like an idiot. My son's going to live. Your kids may die. My son will live.
Because you're beating him up.
Would you rather him be dead?
Well, I mean...
Would you rather him be dead? Go ahead. Just answer that question. You want him to be dead? You want to go ahead and pick out the pine box now? Go ahead.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Jesus Christ.
I understand what you're saying. I guess what I'm trying to deal with is this idea of severe corporal punishment to the point where you beat a kid up to let him know that drinking and driving recklessly and joyriding and speeding and all those other things that young people want to do when they have cars is not right. 1-800-449-8686. Vernon Dozier with the On-Campus Crisis Club. And keep in mind that it's not only his own son that he is threatening with a beating and sometimes instigating that beating. It's other kids whose parents he deems and other members of this club deem parents are too permissive. So that kid gets an ass-kicking from them. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Pure exhibitionism. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Violence, is that the answer for kids who may be killed in an automobile accident? Corporal punishment? You still believe in Mr. Dozier? You mentioned that you hit your daughter in the stomach if you suspected she'd had sex?
No. If I suspected she had sex with these individuals, and there was a period in her life where she was with some young men who I thought were completely unsavory and wrong. And I had told her, if you have sex, I will punch you right in the uterus to kill whatever's growing there. Now, I am pro-life. I am not one of these gays who believes in pro-choice. But I'll tell you this. I would punch her in the stomach to try to kill it. Because I don't want the idea of someone with their greasy paws on my daughter.
All right, question for you.
Yes, sir.
You're pro-life?
Yes, I am.
Then don't you know that you're killing? Don't you guys believe that that's a real person?
That what's a real person?
That when you punch the daughter in the stomach after she had the conception?
Well, no. I spoke with a Baptist minister about this, and I don't think there's anybody more knowledgeable about the subject of life and the conception of life than the fundamentalist Christians who have taken so much abuse down through the years. But I do believe in many of them, and this gentleman told me that there was a period in his career when he was first starting out as a young minister where he had gotten involved with some of the young housewives in the congregation. And he prayed on it. And God told him that if you make one of the housewives pregnant, to punch her in the stomach as soon as possible, and it's not quite a human being then. It's just what you would call ooze or some kind of a... It's like a jellyfish or something. It's not really human yet.
A Baptist minister used to slug his...
Yes, back when he was sinning, and he told me this, but God, he prayed on it, and God said...
God told him to punch the women in the stomach.
He said he felt that was God speaking, yeah. My only purpose is to say, I don't want any kid of mine getting involved in anything, and if I have to put the pain on them, then I'll do it.
All right, here is Amber. Amber, go ahead, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, hi, sir.
Hi.
You are sick. You are a sick guy.
Me?
Yes. Any father, I cannot even imagine my father punching me in the stomach if I ever did.
So we're supposed to let you go out, have sex with every kind of animal, get every kind of disease, and have a baby, and we're supposed to, then we have to take care of it because you're too young to take care of it.
Oh, no. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is, you're sick. You're taking the pain out on your daughter. You know what? You are too strict.
I'm taking a what on my daughter? I'm not going to let my daughter ruin her life by sleeping with some motorcycle enthusiast.
So you're willing to ruin your relationship with your daughter by
No, my daughter understands.
Oh, here's the big unspoken question. This is against the law to strike people, okay?
Well, somebody has to call the police.
Well, wouldn't your daughter call?
No, she would not. She recognizes.
Oh, I sure as hell would.
Well, you're not my daughter, are you? You're not my daughter, so I don't have that problem.
Well,
thank God.
Your daughter.
Thank God I don't have that. You're not my daughter. My son, he's the same way.
So you can punch your daughter and beat your son up, and they won't call the police?
Because they recognize what is good for them.
You know what, sir? I was raised in a small town.
Are you still there? Oh, okay, go ahead. Yeah.
I was raised in a small town, and my parents,
that's great.
They were...
Next
they
call?
Very,
no, not the next call. She's still talking.
I'm sorry.
My parents, they were very, very strict on my older brother and I. And, you know, there's a thin line between being strict and overly strict. There is a very thin line between that. Because, like, you were talking about driving in cars.
Yes, ma'am.
How
old are you,
ma'am? You know, I am 21 years old.
Oh, you're barely a kid yourself.
I am 21.
Let me ask you, how do you deal with a young lady like my daughter, who would drive down the main street of our town bearing her breasts in a car full of show-off teens. Okay, just showing...
Rebellion. kids.
Okay.
She's rebelling against you because you are being too damn strict on her. You're like, you can't do this. I'm going to punch you in the stomach if you ever have have any kind of intercourse with this person. She is rebelling against you.
You want me to, in other words, let her have the baby of an African American, and now you've got a...
Wait a minute.
You're
ruin both of their lives.
You know what?
No, I'm not racist. I'm not racist.
Why would you say a black American?
Because the mulatto baby will have it tough. The mulatto baby will have it tough. Because in society, they don't accept these half-brown ones.
Do you realize how many people these days are? Do you realize that, sir?
How many mulattoes do you know?
I know quite a bit.
Oh, come on. You don't know. You're lying now, and that's against God's law.
My daughter won't be driving down the street. Do you want to come to my work and mention that at work? Because I guarantee your ass would get kicked.
So if I walk in and I go, how many of you are mulattoes? They're all going to stand up and go, me, 100 of them or something?
I am.
Are you?
No.
Look, my daughter is not going to drive down Main Street, because if she does, we will take an iron. A GE iron and put it on her back for 2 minutes.
Oh, my God. You put a hot iron on her back?
It's better that than for her to be perceived by the town fathers as the slut. Let me tell you something. For the longest time, Phil, I had an alcohol problem. And I was considered the town drunk. People would let me sleep it off on their couch. I was arrested by the police on several occasions for breaking and entering. On many an occasion, people would find me asleep on a sidewalk. My wife would come downtown and find me. She'd have to go into every bar downtown till she finally found me. I passed out drunk in my own vomit. I was the town drunk. I don't want to be or have a daughter who is the town slut.
Well, that's admirable, sir. I understand that.
So you understand how a father would be looking out for his daughter?
I certainly do understand that, but to put a hot iron on her back because she bared her breasts...
Well, why is she doing that? I'll tell you why she's doing that, because we live in a society where women walk around like the filthy, dirty god.
1-800-449...
I'm sorry, I'm just...
All right, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Is it time to bring back corporal punishment? And that is, if your kid can be kept from killing himself in an automobile accident, if this will keep your kid from speeding, killing himself, getting pregnant, whatever, is it better that you slap them around, that you hit them before they do this destructive thing, or afterwards? This man hits his daughter in the stomach if he thinks she's had sex so he can abort the fetus. He's also beaten up his son if his son has gotten speeding tickets in case his son goes out and gets himself killed. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Vagisil for the mind.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
So you say you do a weekend of reconditioning of these kids who have parents that are promiscuous. But are you at a casino, sir?
I'm at the Chumash Casino, Phil. Yeah, in the Sausalito area right now.
Okay, I thought you're not in school.
Today I took off. I took the day off. We did a weekend of reconditioning of some of these kids whose parents are promiscuous.
All right. Now, in some of the literature, I've said it takes a weekend. Are the kids kept there?
We will keep the kid here. Yeah.
Is that against his will?
Well, when you're talking about a kid, they don't have a will per se. They do what you tell them to do. If they don't, I don't know what you mean against their will. I mean,
in other words, does the kid consent to being held there, and you smack them around, right?
It doesn't matter what they consent. I've got two. Right now, we are keeping two freshmen, two females, who indicated to us that they want to get into this slut lifestyle. And when I think about young girls going bad, I think about my own daughter. And, oh boy, we're going to have some fun with them.
What do you mean you're going to have some fun?
I just mean we're going to, I don't like the idea of girls being slut-like. I think it teases older men, and it also,
All right, 1-800-449-8686. We'll go over here to Michael. Go ahead, you're on the Phil Hendry Show, Michael.
Buddy, I'm going to tell you right now, first of all, with your corporal punishment, maybe you need your ass kicked. Second of all...
What are you talking about, my ass?
I was 16 years old when my wife and I had our daughter.
Oh, my God, how disgusting.
Hey.
How disgusting. 16.
Who are you to judge people, who are you to decide?
No, I just want to be clear.
Punished or not?
I just want to be clear.
First of all, you shouldn't even be a teacher.
You were putting it to a minor.
You don't need to have any kids.
You were putting it to a minor. Is that right? Making a minor pregnant? And when I say minor, I mean minor, M-I-N-O-R, not M-I-N-E-R. I mean.
All right. He knows what you mean.
Is that what you were doing, Michael?
I was 16. We were having sex.
You were having sex to it with a minor. I would have made your wife drink a pint of Comet.
You know what?
And that would make
her
vomit.
Oh, now look, you can't do that. The gentleman said you're not a cop.
What are you going to do? You going to turn me in?
You're not God. And the state that I live in, it's legal for 16-year-olds to have sex if they want to.
Oh, with like a 40-year-old man?
I'm not 40 years old.
Well, no, I just want to know. I want to be clear. When your daughter becomes 16, is it okay if I have sex with her?
I would kick your ass. I wouldn't touch her.
Oh, I thought it was legal. I thought it was legal. Look, Michael, I want to ask you a question.
I
want to ask you a question.
A 16-year-old and a 16-year-old.
Yeah, okay, sure.
Then there's a difference when you're 40
I
and
ask
you want to have sex with
look
a minor.
The man is saying...
I want to ask him a question. Michael, the woman you're married to... Okay? I want to ask this straight, and I want to get it over with. The woman that you're married to, was she born from the same mother you were?
No.
All right, thank God. Because
in other words, did he marry his sister?
And therefore, you know, you don't need kids, let alone you don't need to be teaching any kids anything.
Oh, so you'd rather have your daughter go out, slut around, get into a car, drive fast, and die. I'd rather beat her within an inch of her life than... I could save your daughter's life.
If you treat adolescent children with respect and as young adults, you will get a lot further than you can by beating them. Because the ones
if you
that you
turn
beat,
that baseball
the ones
cap
that
around on your head,
they're the ones that's going to go out and get drunk
you turn
and
that baseball
have
cap
wrecks
around.
And get pregnant
right.
And whatever.
All right.
Do you wear a baseball cap turned around? Just to answer me yes or no.
I don't wear a baseball cap, period.
Thank Christ.
All right, thanks
but
a lot.
You still need your ass beat
I
for
need
beating
my ass
on a
beat.
Kid.
Your wife needs her ass beaten for coughing up a baby at 14.
No, she was 16.
She was 16 and you were 40?
No.
How old are you?
We were both 16.
They're both 16, he said.
Why don't you pull your head out of your ass?
Hey, Michael, if your daughter would simply come to one of our aversion classes, I can guarantee you won't become a grandfather by the time you're 30. But
yeah,
you need
but
to get
I,
her over to our place.
But let me tell you something right now. You ever laid a hand on my children, you'd be a dead son of a bitch. You know that?
Oh, so we're supposed to see your daughter out there driving fast and getting killed.
Hey, you're not God. Everybody has judgment day.
I'm not
God.
No. But you know what?
It's not up to you to decide who needs to be punished
and
who doesn't.
I'm not God. But there was a son of God. And if there was a son of God, there could be a nephew of God. And maybe that's something that we should all think about.
You're nothing but scum because you like to beat up kids.
I'm not saying I don't. Okay, Grandpa. Okay. Grandfather by the time he's 30. Nice job.
All right, listen, Michael, I agree with you.
So why don't you piss off?
All right, thanks, pal. I think you made some good points.
Your mama.
All right, thank you. Your mama. That's a really adult. Here is Tammy. Tammy, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi.
Yes,
I just have a question for the coach. Can you hear me?
Go ahead.
Hi.
Kathleen. Go ahead, Kathleen.
Hi.
Hi.
I just want to comment that everything this guy says is sick, criminal, and contradictory.
No, it is not criminal because no one presses charges.
Well, someone should press charges. Someone should be hunting this guy down.
Did you say that you are holding
charges.
Yeah, you're holding two women against their will?
I did not say that. No, I said that
you said you've got two women in a fruit cellar?
We have a fruit cellar here, yeah.
and there's women in it.
There are two young girls from high school who we are trying to reprogram.
Oh, someone needs to reprogram you, honey, and hopefully one day you'll get sent to jail, and they'll reprogram you.
Oh, sent to jail? So you want your daughter? You want your daughter giving birth?
I don't have a daughter.
To an Now, of course, that's why you think the way you do.
Well,
that's the way you think. You think the way you do because you got no kids. Oh, you're one of those people who didn't take the big chance in life and go out and have a kid. You're sitting at home with your dogs, right?
No, I don't have dogs.
You got cats.
You're speaking to a woman who's pregnant.
Okay.
And you're speaking of hitting other... Yes, I am.
All right. If you weren't married, I wouldn't hit you. If you weren't married, I would.
Right, but
Wait a minute. I want
to
ask...
to hit my own children.
How far along are you, Kathleen?
How far along am I? I'm 5 months.
You're 5 months?
Yes.
All right, that's fine. But if you were not pregnant, I'd still have to...
Hit her when she's 5 months?
I'd have to.
Okay.
Yeah, right.
You know what?
Right, right. Sure.
Buddy, hey. You're not well in the head. You realize this, right? At some point in your life...
What's that pounding?
You on your head?
I've got two women in a fruit cellar. What do you mean, what's that pounding?
Are you for real?
I don't know. This guy...
I would tell you this much, ma'am. I believe in saving children from automobile accidents. If you don't,
how
do you keep them from doing it?
How do you keep them... Okay.
Yeah, see, she doesn't have an answer. I do have an answer.
I need
to beat them within an inch of their life. You beat them within an inch of their life if they ever come near an automobile accident. Or come near an automobile.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Whore. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
You know, this kid that was killed up here, this group of kids that were killed up here in Santa Barbara County over the weekend, some drunk came across the median. And guess what the solution's going to be?
We need more concrete medians.
Yeah, that's it. We need more concrete medians so in case there's a drunk, he doesn't come across the median and he doesn't kill somebody, right? So let's build more walls.
We need more concrete walls. We need more of that stuff, right?
Hey, how about you drunks stop driving your car? I forget I was in Minneapolis one night. I should have called the cops. I don't know why I didn't. I'm on my way to work. And these two jackasses in front of me. Now I'm on a freeway in the dead of winter in Minneapolis. I'm going to tell you this, and I say this with the greatest of respect. Only an idiot would live in a city like that. Only an idiot. You're driving down a freeway in February, a freaking blizzard. You can't see. You can't keep your car on the road. And if some guy gets out in front of you and spins the car the wrong way, you lose control, which is exactly what happened to me. Some guy gets in front of me. Hits his brake lights because he's too scared or too stupid to drive his car. I don't know what the problem was. I hit mine. Both of us start to swerve all over the freeway until finally we went off into a snowbank, right? So what do? Because I'm such a sweetheart. I get out of my car to see if he's okay, and I smell liquor all over this guy. I should have just punched the guy out right there. Honest to God, I should have pulled him out of his car and left him right there. But instead, well, you okay?
I got to get out of here.
Him and his friend. Hey, man, drink and drive if you want to. I hope you get caught. I hope you go to jail. And the rest of us, keep a baseball bat handy so that when you find him, you can hit him on the head with the bat and then throw his keys in the snow. And then he'll spend the rest of the night looking for him. But anyway, that's going to be the solution, man. They're going to have everybody out there looking around for... They're going to have everybody out there building concrete medians on the freeway because, God forbid, anybody should actually, like, not drink and drive or what. Whatever. I don't, do whatever you want to do. It's fine with me. 1-800-449-8686. Hey, by the way, speaking of cars, I was at the car wash today, and it's something to see. You wouldn't believe it. But out here in California, you go to a car wash, and what do you see? You see pictures of movie stars and celebrities hanging on the wall.
Hey, Fouse, good luck. Thanks, Charlie Sheen. Great wash, Ahmed. Sean Connery. Honest to God. So I went to my car wash today, which is up the street from my house, and I'm looking at these pictures. I try to make a mental note of the ones that I saw, right? Now, one time I was in there, and a woman heard my voice. She says, oh, Phil Hendry, would you like to have a picture on the wall here? I said, no, I really would not. Because if you do, just bring one in. Now, what is that like? So you're Heather Locklear. You come in. Yeah, by the way, here's my picture for behind the cash register. Oh, okay, thanks, Ms. Locklear. We'll get around to framing it when we get a chance. Anyway, that'll be $15.95 for the special. And oh, you had the new car wax and the fart scent remover. Okay. Thanks for the armor all job. Love, Pam Anderson. Thanks for the buff. Love. So here are the pictures that I saw up there. George Kennedy, Heather Locklear. There must be like 9 pictures of Heather Locklear all over the town I live in, because apparently she lives somewhere around there. Man, they got them in the, what is that joint that you go where you take your shirts? The dry cleaner. They got her kisser hanging in the dry cleaner. They got her face hanging at the car wash. They got her over at the shoe repair. They got her phone number in a restroom over the, I'm joking, Ms. Locklear. It's just a joke. I'm sorry. They got her hanging all over the place, man. And then I saw Eddie Money's picture hanging there. Nice buff up. You know, nice buff up there, Shake. Eddie. Then who was the dude that played Grizzly Adams? They got his kisser there, that big bearded guy. Dan Haggerty, he was there. And then there was a Cosmopolitan cover that was framed with a woman on it. And then another, like a Vogue cover that was framed with a woman on it. And what did they do? Did they get these Vogue covers framed and then they put those in a thing? And then the guy that played one of the cops on Dukes of Hazzard, he had a mustache. Kind of a, I don't know, it was BJ and the Bear, maybe he was there. And then the guy that played Urkel, who's that guy? He's there. Jamal Lewis? No, I'm kidding. Jamal Lewis of the Baltimore Ravens? No, Jamal Muhammad. Jamal Warner. I was close. I said Muhammad. You figure the guy's first name is Jamal, man. You ain't far off when you go to Muhammad, Ali, Faisal, something like that. And then another guy, they had a local L.A. news guy, Ross Becker, his face was hanging there. And then a New Jersey net player, his face was hanging up there. I guess he comes from out here. But that's how they get you get the picture up there. They ask you, oh, hi, Ms. Locklear. Could you bring your picture in? Oh, sure, okay. So they go home and they look for their picture. They bring it into the car wash. What the heck? I ain't putting it down. It's very nice. Very nice to help the business. You know what it is? It really is. It's a nice thing to help the business. I gave my picture over here to the guys at Ruben's Red Hot, and I've never heard the end of it. Every time I pull in there, the guy's like, you're a nice guy, you know, put a picture up there. I said, anything I do for you, baby. Hey, everybody come in. Always ask about a Phil Henry. Want to know this, want to know that. All kind of bull crap. Bore me to tears. I'm trying to get the Reuben Red Hot and the bull. Well, what do you want, man, okay? Give me a poor picture. So I said, fine. So I got a whole stack of Dr. Laura pictures, and I drew a mustache on it, and I brought it in, and he put them up. He's giving them out. I signed them all, too. And it worked. Because I'd run out. I didn't mean anything against Laura, but I'd run out. So I drew some mustaches on her, and the guy's all, that's great, man. A good resemblance. I'm bald. She has hair. Whatever. Guy wanted me to actually come in with, he wanted me to come in with biographical stuff on me so he could just hand it out. Somebody says something about me, you know, like, do you know Phil Hendry? Because my stupid face is in his window. He'd say, yeah, here you go. I know him. I sign all my pictures. I'm my kid's drug dealer. And then I give them out. Anyway, that was, you know, I have a map to my house and all that stuff. But get a load of that, man. All of these pictures hanging in there. Who else was on that wall? Some of the big heavies. I think Sean Connery's was up there. What if you went into a place, though, and it was someone, I mean, how would that change your world? If you went into a shoe repair place, not a shoe repair, that would actually make sense. But what if you went into the mobile car wash at the corner and great job on the Jag, Laurence Olivier, and it's just some real serious Shakespearean actor? Sir John Gielgud. I don't know. Thanks for everything, Robert De Niro. I guess he wouldn't. You know, I tell you what, right now, though, if they had a picture of B. Arthur up there, I'd get the deluxe wash. Don't even worry about it. But so far, I ain't seen it yet. B, you get your face up there at that wash. I'll get the deluxe wash. I'll get the buff out. Thanks for the buff, John Barrymore. Thanks for the buff, Drew Barrymore. In fact, we could come up with a whole bit. Filthy things you could write on a picture that you can hang in a car wash. Thanks for the wax job, Drew Barrymore. I'm rich, you're not. Signed, Tom Green. Anyway, thanks for the rinse, Johnny Knoxville. Okay, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. What is it I'm talking about? Oh, yeah. Our website is philhenryshow.com. All you do is go to our website. We'd like you to get a backstage pass. You can download every day now the live stream of our show. You can download every single day the live stream of our show. All you have to do to go is go to philhenryshow.com. Now, the backstage pass will get you that live stream. But once you get the backstage pass, which is only $6.95 a month, then you can live stream the show and you can download that. Burn it to disk whenever you'd like to. We also are going to be offering pictures of Rue McClanahan with "Thanks for sanitizing my plugs, love your Rue" on our website, if we can get a hold of them. But so far, no return phone call, no nothing. 1-800-449, which I think is pretty ungrateful of her. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
I want to bring on Robert Green. He's a consultant in the food industry. He is not the Robert Green who's working with McDonald's, which is, by the way, trying to improve its image in terms of health. Correct, Bob?
The McDonald's Corporation has been criticized as being responsible for overeating in young kids, and so they're trying to improve their image, but... McDonald's is a success story, Phil, for a lot of reasons, and one of them is I think their food is every bit as good as any health food restaurant you want to talk about, and so much more. I think people are eating out more because they enjoy going to restaurants like McDonald's that are affordable. The food is good. So many innovations that were introduced by McDonald's. And I don't see this company getting the kind of respect that they deserve. They've been sued repeatedly. Their name is kind of the punchline to a joke. I think the time has come to change it, and that's why we've put together our proposal.
You're putting together a proposal for the McDonald's Corporation to give them some kind of, I don't know, what direction in the 21st century?
Well, it's the beginning of an ad campaign for the 21st century, but it's more importantly something long overdue. The McDonald's Corporation is a hamburger outlet, if you will, that people see as just a hamburger stand. But understand, Phil, that McDonald's introduced a lot of different things. Quality food that's prepared quickly and delivered quickly. That's fast food. Their service is second to none. They revolutionized the job market, giving millions of jobs. The first breakfast sandwich, the drive-thru, convenience. And they have outlasted countless challenges from other competitors, I should say, like Burger King and Wendy's and Carl's Jr. And the food is high quality, and yet they're the brunt and the butt of countless jokes. They created a character to entertain the children. Ronald McDonald's been made fun of in crude and obscene ways. So the name becomes synonymous with cheap and inferior when, in point of fact, I think it's quality.
You're a big McDonald's fan, right? I mean, you're in the food...
Yes, I am.
You're in the food consulting business. But you're a big McDonald's fan.
Oh, absolutely. I think McDonald's is the model for all successful businesses, without question. And I this may sound crazy for a customer, but I take it personally when I hear people making fun of that company as a food outlet. consultant and, frankly, as a customer, it's my recommendation now that McDonald's start to do something to get some of that respect back from the American consumer, especially considering what they've done.
We're talking with Robert Green. He is a food, a restaurant consultant. He's also the CEO of Fraser Foods. You believe that, and our number, by the way, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Now, I want to ask you what you believe can best be done by McDonald's to get respect. But I will say this. The American consumer votes with his pocketbook by buying the food. Isn't that the respect you're talking about?
You know something, Phil? Bill Gates is a good example of this. Bill Gates has a lot of money. He's the head of Microsoft. But he's probably the most ridiculed man in America, and there's something that people don't know about Bill Gates because I've spoken with family members of his. He has, on some occasions, been so hurt by the criticism that he gets that he is emotionally conflicted to the point that it's brought on tears. And
why? Because he doesn't get respect?
No, yeah, exactly, because there isn't the respect. And so the polls show and the surveys show people want respect more than they want money. And McDonald's deserves the respect. McDonald's, what they've done for the American people, is phenomenal. The quickness, the easiness, the quality food. Burger King hasn't been able to touch them. Jack in the Box hasn't been able to touch them. And why is that? Because they make an inferior product. Burger King had a shot there for a while. They absolutely dropped the ball. Carl's Jr., Wendy's, fine products. They don't even come close. They don't even come within light years of McDonald's.
All right, well, let me ask you about we give to you, you give back. Our number, 1-800-449-8686. What is we give to you, you give back?
This is what we think is a very post-9/11. It's terrific, and it promotes the customers giving back to McDonald's. McDonald's has done nothing but give to the American people for years. We call for the customer to give back to McDonald's. When you walk up to the counter or you pull up at the drive-thru and the McDonald's employee says, "Welcome to McDonald's, may I take your order?" We want people to start to respond with the following phrase, and we will reinforce it through advertising. Thank you, and thank you for 55 years of great service and food. And
all right, so if I go to a counter, I pull up and I say, and they say, "Welcome to McDonald's, may I take your order?" I give this phrase.
You recite the phrase, "Thank you, and thank you for 55 years of great service and food," and then you place your order. That, I think, will go a long way toward calming some people down, because I can tell you right now, if I ran McDonald's, I would be looking for some payback. And this phrase is repeated because McDonald's deserves it, but even more importantly, we're giving the American people something else. And this is the best thing about this campaign. We're giving them manners. Manners were something that our parents taught us. You use the right fork and knife, understand. Okay? Now you thank people. You say thank you for 55 years of great service, because if you weren't here, I'd still be eating garbage that Jack in the Box produces or some of these other companies.
Okay. Bob, what do the American people... Look, we're getting the food, we're paying for the food, and then we also have to thank McDonald's for their 55 years of service. What are we getting in return?
I don't understand.
Well, we say, what do we get?
I just told you, you learn manners on how to say thank you to someone with grace and style, as opposed to a pig, like a lot of people conduct themselves in these restaurants.
Robert Green with us from Fraser Foods on McDonald's 55 years of great service, great food, revolutionary service techniques, revolutionary restaurant. Configurations and meals, and for 55 years they've gotten that, but they haven't really gotten any respect due to the fact that they are kind of the butt of jokes. But they have gotten our money. I keep going back to that. They have gotten a lot of money. But you're saying money's not enough.
Money, Phil. If money were enough, then why don't some guys just stop when they make a certain amount of money? They want respect. McDonald's, I think, if I read the situation right, is starting...
I had to dump that, okay?
I'm sorry, Phil, but I think the people at McDonald's are getting a little upset. And I think it's because for 55 years they've provided some of the finest food and service in the history of the restaurant business, and the American people walk into their restaurants and act like no manners, and pay really great prices for great food.
So our money's not enough.
Well, it isn't that your money isn't enough.
I mean, our money isn't enough. We also have to...
What we'd like is some reciprocation. Thank you for coming to McDonald's. And then you say, and thank you for 55 years of great service. Otherwise, you've got a lot of angry people at McDonald's. And I'll tell you something else. Well, I won't go there, but you can well imagine the power someone has who owns a restaurant who's about to feed you a meal.
Okay, 1-800-449-8686. The McDonald's Corporation has given us a great many things, wonderful things in terms of fast food. We've also given them our food, but apparently, according to Robert Green, we owe McDonald's a lot more than that. We owe them respect. 55 years of great service and food. So when you pull in and you say, they say, welcome to McDonald's, you are to say, and thank you for 55 years of great service and food. Otherwise, Bob feels there are some people at McDonald's that are starting to get upset, and it might get litigious, I guess. 1-8, although he said something like, imagine the problems you'd have with a restaurant that serves you food. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. We eat kittens. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Talking to Robert Green. Robert, one thing that you didn't address is, what if people stop eating at McDonald's? What if they just decide, well, look, I don't want to have to thank McDonald's for its 55 years of great service. What if they decide...
Well, Phil, I want to ask you where they're going to eat.
Well, they're going to eat it at they'll eat at Burger King.
They're not going to eat at Burger King, and they're not going to eat at Jack in the Box. They know, the McDonald's customer knows, that McDonald's food is superior. So they're not eating at Burger King. They're not eating at Jack in the Box. They're not going to change their habits. Burger King and Jack in the Box, first of all, let's take these one at a time. Burger King is horrific. It's the kind of food that at one time maybe had a chance. Jack in the Box is terrible, and only an infant eats a Jack in the Box. Any adult that eats a Jack in the Box is, we like to say, they're stuck in their second childhood. The rest of it is garbage. So they'll keep eating at McDonald's. So we've got the McDonald's, we've got the people out there over a barrel. The people listening to your show right now are over a barrel. They know they have to, they know they want to eat at our restaurant, and they're going to have to say thank you to get service.
All right, so you will refuse service to anybody that doesn't say thank you for the 55 years of service and great food.
Oh, absolutely. Otherwise, it just doesn't make any difference. And also, we're going to be putting out tip jars for the first time. McDonald's has never had a tip jar, and I'd like to see McDonald's put out tip jars. And again, this is going to go a long way toward the American consumer finally doing what they should have done a long time ago, and that's give McDonald's respect, decent respect, instead of making Ronald McDonald the butt of every pornographic and obscene joke.
1-800-449-8686 on the Phil Henry Show. We're talking with Robert Green, who's the president of Fraser Food, and he says that McDonald's should start demanding some form of thank you from its customers for the 55 years of great food and service that it's given people. And when I said to you, Robert, that they'll just stop eating McDonald's, you say it's impossible.
No, the American people and the people out there that love McDonald's, there's no way they're going to stop eating at McDonald's. A, they don't have the willpower. B, the food is far too good at McDonald's, so why would they need the willpower? C, look at Burger King and Jack in the Box have been at it for I don't know how many years, and they still haven't been able to beat McDonald's. You know why? Because their food is crap, and McDonald's food is great.
And you're going to put out tip jars, and you're going to ask for a thank you.
Absolutely. When you come to McDonald's now, you're going to thank us for our service. And I don't work for McDonald's, but I would just simply say, they should say, you're going to thank us thank you. Thank you very much. And by the way, thank you for teaching us some manners, too, so that we would thank you.
Here is Jeremy on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Jeremy.
Okay, I would have to say, first of all, Wendy's is a far better burger.
No, it's not.
And that, what? Why would, should we say thank you when we go into McDonald's and get a burger that is slopped together on condiments that has fallen off?
It's so bad that we made it. It's so bad that it has consistently beaten Wendy's, Carl's Jr. Now, it's a great burger. The customers love it. The quality is fantastic. Now, what we're asking for, Jeremy, and I would ask you, is it such a bad thing to say thank you for 55 years of great service and food?
I would say it would be thank you when you give me your napkin to wipe up the slop that's falling off the back end of the burger.
Well, how come if everybody hates the burger, we make so much money? There you go. Can't answer that. See, this is the thing about McDonald's customers. They got to follow A to B to C. Wendy's can't make up their mind on their menu. Baked potatoes at a burger joint? Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, that's great. And speaking of that, what about Jack in the Box? Jack in the Box has got more garbage on their menu, Carl's Jr., more strange things on their menu. So what we're saying is, do you think it's funny to have an actor dressed like the Hamburglar in a these kinds of things? So what we're trying to do is let the American people know that it's time for them to give McDonald's back. We fed their kids. We have fed their teenagers. We've fed their preschool, forgive me for saying this, but in many instances, their preschool brats who are brought in by nannies and babysitters and who sit there and scream and cry, and a retiree or an immigrant Mexican has to go and clean their vomit up. This is what we get. If I say we, if I were a McDonald's employee, which someday I hope that I am, I hope that they hire me. But as of yet, they have not returned my phone calls. But
you're in the restaurant consult. You want to work for McDonald's?
I would consider it an honor. I think McDonald's is, as they say, the preeminent restaurant business. If it wasn't for McDonald's, a lot of these women who don't even know how to boil water, you'd have children starving to death. They would die from starvation. These are the things that McDonald's has brought to the American people. Number one, they've saved the lives of children from dying. Number two, they have cleaned up buckets and buckets of puke, gallons of puke, down through the 5 decades they've been in business, of kids who their parents were too lazy and too stupid to feed them breakfast. Number three, most people in America wouldn't eat breakfast were it not for the Egg McMuffin. Number four, quick, fast, easy, and what do we get for it? People honking their horn and asking us to get faster. McDonald's, I should say, employs a lot of retarded kids. They employ a lot of Mexicans, blacks, Spaniards, Asians, Polynesians, Hawaiians, a lot of Australians. Don't forget the dollar menu, too. All we're asking for now, Phil, is that people pull into our restaurant and say thank you for 55 years of service, and they do it with a smile, and they learn some common decency and respect. We helped fight the war against terrorism by remaining open after 9/11. Every other chicken crap out there was...
All right, now hold on for a minute. You're beginning to get strident, Mr. Green. You're beginning to get angry, sir.
Well, I don't even work there.
Well, that's the thing. You're just a huge fan of the McDonald's Corporation.
I mean, McDonald's has top quality toys in the Happy Meals. You can go, and they have swing sets and slides. They have the hot fudge sundaes and hot apple turnovers and everything.
I understand, but...
And they've also certainly been involved in cancer research. The Ronald McDonald charities have been phenomenal. And what do they get for their trouble? People making fun of them. We even have a Newman's Own salad dressing.
When you say we...
I say we in the hope that I'm hired by McDonald's.
And all right, 1-800-449-8686.
And the thanks they get is some screaming brat screeching at the top of their lungs for one of those cookies shaped like a freaking McBurglar.
I understand.
Uh-huh.
All right, 1-800-449-8686.
You know, Phil, my wife once said, I eat too much McDonald's. And I got to tell you something. I reached across the table, and I said, if you ever talk to me that way again, I will kill you. You talk to me like that again, I will end you. And I remembered Robin Williams in Good Will Hunting. I will end you was the way he said it to Matt Damon. I loved it.
You don't work for McDonald's.
No. For the ninth time, no. God, G-D-it. No, I don't. I want to.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Robert Greene from Fraser Foods on McDonald's and really what our culture owes them. We owe them so much more than just the money we pay for the hamburger. From the elevation of the burger stand to a good eating, its service, the speed of its service, the fact that they've outlasted countless challenges from contenders like Burger King to Wendy's to Carl's Jr., the first breakfast sandwich, the drive-thru, convenience, the fact that they're international and hire all kinds of people, the highest quality food that would nutritionally stand up to any so-called health fast food. All of these things McDonald's has brought to the American people, and still we make them the butt and the brunt of jokes. We talk about Ronald McDonald in pornographic ways. He has said it is time for us to show some respect because there is indication now at the corporate levels at McDonald's, in the words of Mr. Greene, that they're starting to get sick of it and they're starting to get pissed. 1-800-449-8686.
So I told my wife to shut up, and I pointed at my fly, and I said, supersize this.
I understand that. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. You need a checkup from the neck up. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
And our website is philhendryshow.com, and our email address is phs@philhendryshow.com, and our best of CD we ought to be out any day now. I don't know when it's coming out, but I think actually it'll be out by November. Jesus, really? That long? When's the CD? When is this thing ready to go, man? When are we getting ready with this CD? Huh? Hello? When? November. Okay, so I was right. In any event, we'll have our artwork done, and then we'll try to get this thing printed up, and the money goes to my friend's place, Resource Center for Homeless and Runaway Kids in Hollywood. Speaking of Hollywood or L.A. or what have you, I'm not going to talk recall right now because we have had just about enough of that, haven't we? No, I want to talk about the L.A. Philharmonic Orchestra. Now, I know you don't know what I'm talking about. And that's okay. Nobody listens to classical music except a handful of aficionados. Now, that's all there is to it. Nobody even knows what it is. It's too bad. It probably ought to be more popular. It's probably very beautiful. It's very edifying. It was written by a great many brilliant musicians. But classical music today is held in the same regard that rock and roll will be held in 300 years from now. In other words, it'll be a curiosity, a really boring curiosity that is not listened to by other than a handful of aficionados. Classical music was the rock and roll of its day. Rock and roll, of course, as you well know, is just about done. I mean, there really isn't anything left of it other than the Dixie Chicks, because I hear they now consider themselves to be rock and roll. Oh, my God. Go away. Go away. Go. Just make a record. Get hit by a bus. Something different. Other than listening to you guys and your, quote, political opinions, you guys wouldn't have a political opinion. Man, you wouldn't know a political opinion if it came up and lip-locked you, if it came up and pulled a Madonna on you and just thrust its tongue down your hick throat. The Dixie Chicks, they're all pissed off because people actually criticize them. By the way, I'll continue on this L.A. Philharmonic thing. General Wesley Clark is running for president on this. This is the confusing platform, man. I mean, this is what's happened to a pretty good party, the Democratic Party. Dissent, let me see here. Patriotism, you'll be able to dissent and not be criticized? Did I read that right? It was like a drudge or something. You'll be able to dissent in an America where Wesley Clark is president. You'll be able to dissent and it'll be cool because no one will be mad at you? I don't understand that, man. What is that?
I guess we have gotten that stupid. All right, so we've gotten stupid. Good.
What happened was this. Everybody was pissed off after 9/11. A bunch of people criticized our war in Iraq, and it pissed a lot of people off, and so they said so, and you weren't supposed to do that. You were supposed to either just shut up or agree with them, I guess. And as a result of people disagreeing with people who disagreed with the Iraq war, now Wesley Clark's running on a platform where in America you'll be able to be patriotic, but if you want to dissent, nobody will be mad at you for it. I've never in my life seen anything more confused and more stupid at a time when we could really use some good people. Wesley Clark is not going to be a good president. I don't even know whether he was a good general. The guy was head of NATO during peacetime. What else qualifies this guy to be president of the United States? Any more than anything qualifies Arnold Schwarzenegger to be governor, and I said so too on that one. Hey, you know what? We get everything we do. We're going to get everything we deserve in this country. Don't worry about it. The president, the government, everything we deserve is coming our way. Don't you worry. But if you elect Wesley Clark, then the Dixie Chicks can say really stupid stuff and nobody will laugh at them. That's what's going to happen, basically, when Wesley Clark becomes president. The Dixie Chicks will get up, say their usual boring, hick, dumb stuff, and then nobody will laugh at them and everyone will go, gee, that's great. And then they'll start twanging their banjos, and it'll be a great country again. And then Tim Robbins can get up, say dumb crap, and pretend he's Franklin Roosevelt, and pretend he's John Kennedy, and be completely befuddled and confused about history and contemporary events, and we'll all just go, gee, Tim Robbins said that's great, he's a great actor, and he'll smile and walk off with Susan, and they'll go and whatever the hell they do. Walk around with a baby thing. Do they have kids or no? Is she able to have? They do? They'll walk around with a baby thing hanging off of them. And then, who else? Some other dumbass will say Sean Penn will go over to Iraq, make a complete and utter boob out of himself, look like an utter clod walking from one hospital ward to the next, escorted by Saddam Hussein's, you know, ushers, escorted by the Saddam Hussein theater ushers. And he'll look like a jackass, but then we won't say anything. We'll go, that was really cool, Mr. Penn, for going over there, even while he's being manipulated by them. And it's going to be a beautiful world. You just don't you worry. What in the hell? Yes, it'll be America where you can have dissent, and nobody will giggle at you because you sound like an utter nincompoop. What the freaking heck are we talking about over here, Jim? Okay. L.A. Philharmonic. Let me get back to this, man, because here it is. Because they called my house last night, and they call my house every Sunday and Saturday and Friday night. And I want to tell you guys something from the bottom of my heart. I'm sorry that nobody goes to listen to classical music. I'm sorry. I wish it were a different world. It is beautiful music. My son likes to listen to it, my son Chris. I can take it or leave it, personally. I like the ones that I know. I know that one. And I know the other one from all the stuff from Clockwork Orange I know. I know that one. I know that one. And what is the other one we know, Chris? How about the ones most kids in America today, my age, learn classical music by watching Elmer Fudd cartoons because they used classical pieces as the soundtrack for all of the, when Elmer Fudd went out in the early morning to kill Bugs Bunny, you'd hear this one. Right? And I don't know who that was. I don't know the composer, but it's I think it's the guy that wrote the William Tell Overture. It's the same piece, or the same movement, or the same bowel movement. Who? The Blue Danube? That's Richard Strauss. That ain't Blue Danube. Blue Danube goes like this. I forget. It's the one you roller skate to. Na 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 na. Yeah, roller skate to that stuff. So this is what I know. But most people. Today it's pop music, you know, it's Christina, it's It's, you know, it's a lot of bad music, man. It's just bad music that's happening. But popular music has always been bad. Top 40 has always been bad. Today they call it contemporary hits radio. Back in my day, they called it top 40. It's the same damn thing. It's crap. Oh, you know, one will sneak in that's really good. One track from an album that's really good will sneak in. But the stuff that rules the roost is crud. It's all bubblegum, written by 40-year-old men, sung by 20-year-old guys, for the enjoyment of 14-year-old girls. And that's where it's at. So the L.A. Philharmonic calls every week, and I'm getting weary of it. And so last night I had to tell them to get lost, and I'm sorry, but they were talking to my kids. See, here's the deal. When a telemarketer calls up, I know, because my kid suddenly gets a really confused look on his face. Hello? And suddenly he doesn't say anything for a long stretch. I'm going, okay, wait a second. Who is this that he's not saying? Usually it's like, oh, hi, Bill, or hi, Eddie, or hi, drop dead, or something, or go to Hades. But no, this is hello. And a long stretch, I go, yep, it's a telemarketer. She's not here right now. You know, oh, about an hour. So now this is a telemarketer asking, when's your mom going to be home? And is she there? And was she there? And how is she going to be there? And frankly, it pisses me off. Because if my kids are home alone, I personally don't want them answering questions like that. I just so happened, thank God, I was sitting there. Thank God. Otherwise, some crazed lunatic from the L.A. Philharmonic would have come to my house and stabbed all my children. I'm joking. Stabbed them with a violin bow. Just... I'm kidding around. So I finally grabbed the phone. I said, look, no more phone calls, L.A. Philharmonic. I've heard from you, and that's it. And I also don't want you talking to my kids. And thank you very much. But I would suggest, I would strongly urge you to take my advice. Don't ever call my house again. Goodbye. Click. And I had to treat the L.A. Philharmonic Orchestra like that. That's how pathetic it's gotten. That's how sad the whole situation, and I'm not even sure what situation it is I'm talking about. Is it the state of music? Is it the state of telemarketing? Or is it my mental health? What has deteriorated here? I think the LA Philharmonic's doing fine. I think music's doing fine. I think I'm losing my mind. That's what I think's happening. I think I'm going insane. Do you think I would have had a little more patience? But I have had patience week in and week out. My daughter comes running across the driveway. I was out, I don't know what the hell I was doing, killing gophers, I think. I had the hose shoved down a gopher hole, and I was digging it. I was just, had that hose turned on full blast, blasting those gophers out, you know, just relaxing on a Saturday afternoon, murdering gophers. And my daughter comes running across with the phone, and she's talking, and she gives it to me, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, this must be important. Hello? Yes, sir, you have a delightful daughter. Thank you. Who's this? Well, this is the L.A. Philharmonic, and we're wondering, are you interested in... No! I'm not interested in it yesterday, not today, and not tomorrow. I don't want box seats. I don't want single seats. I don't want a lifetime pass. I don't want individual performance passes. I don't want the Hollywood Bowl. I don't want the Music Center. I want none of it. You want to know why? More than anything else? Because I couldn't get anybody to go with me. I might even want to go see some classical music every now and again, just to kind of make my life something other than what it is, which is just one dreary trek to work and back home again, a couple of Madden 2003 games, make love to my wife, drink 600 beers, and then it all starts over again. But who's going to go with me? You go with me, Chris? All right, man. So I said to my wife, I'd like to get some hockey tickets. I'd like to go see the Kings. Well, we live too far away. I live out in the middle of nowhere. I can't see anything good. I live out in Thousand Oaks, California. Do you know where that is? Have you any idea where that is? There's nothing out there. Nothing. They got a performing arts center, and I went to see Jethro Tull to my everlasting regret. God, was that sad. And guess what? My wife, she's not in for it just once. She wants to get hit over the head twice. Guess who she's going to go see on October the 1st? Billy Idol. Yeah, huh? Well, tell you what, pal. You can go and join the girls if you want, Chris, because I bet you he's going to look like about 500 pounds of freaking donut oil. How much of that processed pompadour has he got left? Oh, my God, that's going to be sad, man. He's going to have a big, long black jacket on to cover up the fat belly, you know, leather pants, and he'll be, you know, receding hairline with the Rebel Yell haircut. I wonder if he's still wearing that glove, man, it's going to be all over. How about that goofball guitar player he had? That Adamant-looking freak. Steve Stevens? He rocks, does he really, huh? Is he still rocking at 300 pounds? You know, you can't rock and roll over 250 pounds. Just ask Bachman Turner Overdrive. You cannot play rock and roll if you're fat. Meatloaf sucks. Meatloaf? What is the kick with Meatloaf? That guy blew in 1977. He blew again with that I'll Do Anything for Love But Not That, which I can't imagine what that would be, Meat. And then, isn't he doing another deal? You can't rock and roll if you're 300 pounds. Ask Leslie West. What a oaf he was. Big. You could roll that guy out on stage.
And now Leslie West and Mountain.
Just roll him out. I just think there's something basically wrong with that. Every guy that played rock and roll as a kid, they all knew, you got to go on the Atkins diet. Because if your thighs are rubbing together, man, forget it. That's not happening. Guys that look like they're on heroin are sexy. Guys that look like they don't take heroin but replace that with a healthy addiction for jelly donuts don't look sexy. Hey, I'm not hooked on heroin. I'm hooked on Krullers. Somehow it doesn't translate. So anyway, the L.A. Philharmonic ain't getting my money, and I'm sorry, and God bless you, and we do go to the Music Center for the odd play, and when I say odd play, it's been about 3 years, but we get over there every now and again. I can't do anything when I live out there. I can't get anywhere. I said, I'd like to go see a hockey game. I can't do it. It's too far away. I got my Avenger tickets, which is only once a week football, which is fine. Which, by the way, I love my indoor football tickets. Because at least it's freaking football in the city of Los Angeles. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. And coming back, we'll give the CHP some crap. We'll be right back on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
That's why I don't go out to the Canyon Club. I don't go out there. It's right around the corner from my house. And they have, like this month, Tower of Power. I ain't going to go see them. I'm tired. I'm tired of seeing these guys old and shuffling around. I made the big mistake once. I won't make it again. Music, old, it's best left old. It's just left dead. Just leave it dead. Just let the days die. Who's this band now that's doing Boys of Summer now where they say on a Cadillac the other day I saw a Black Flag sticker on a Cadillac? The Ataris instead of a Grateful Dead sticker? Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, they're fine. But the whole meaning of that song is just forget it, will you? Just leave it alone. Let it die. Let it die slowly. Let it die horribly, but let it die. Just listen to, you know, I'm listening now. I got my whole Led Zeppelin catalog, and it's fantastic. And I have a new appreciation for that band. Do you think I want to see what Robert Plant looks like now? Hell no. Because I already know what he looks like now, and it ain't pretty. Do I want him to get back together again? Please, God, no. In fact, there was a rumor that they were going to get back together again with some real disgusting drummer, and Page said that it was the most horrible rumor he'd heard about their reunion in years. I forget who the drummer was. Ringo Starr. I'm kidding. All right. CHP, just a little thought. I traveled down the 405 freeway south some mornings heading down to the west side. Do me a favor, will you please? On second thought, don't do me a favor. Just let everybody who is riding in that Diamond Lane, who's only one to a car, let them keep on doing that. See, there's four lanes of us schmuck, law-abiding citizens, and we sit there, all one to the car, going down the four lanes of the 405, the most miserable freeway the world has ever known, abiding by the law. Meanwhile, in the fast lane, just off to my left, because I'm always in the lane closest to it, because I like to flip off or shake my fist at anybody who is going by and just one to a car. Meanwhile, they're sailing along, one guy to a car, another guy, one guy to a car, another one guy, and there ain't a cop within 3,000 miles. There isn't a cop within the same continent. Nowhere. Now, the day that I decide to do that myself is the day I get ticketed, so forget it. What I do is I ride down the shoulder on the far right side. That's what I did the other morning because I was late for a meeting. I must have been a mile away, and I just sailed right down that shoulder. And people being people, what do you think they did? They all started following me. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686.